Gus Becker is going to speak to us this evening about cougars in this neck of the woods. And those of you who have been to sessions before know that most sessions at Holden Village are recorded, as is this one this evening. So as you participate in the conversation, that little tiny thing sitting there called a podcast recorder is going to pick up your voice as well as Gus's voice. So just so you know that, enjoy.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming to my presentation. And tonight I'll be talking about cougars, and I put a couple slides up of my house cat. And the reason I did that because if you have cats, does anybody here have a cat?
Yeah.
Okay. Your cat is minuscule micro version of what a cougar does. A lot of your cat's mannerisms and behaviors and instinct are just what the cougar does, as I'll explain here in a minute. And this is Zeus in my backyard. And he goes up on that pole and surveys his kingdom. And this is very, very much like what a cougar does. So now, let me get out of that. And I'll get back to the presentation.
And that was your dog also?
That was my dog, yeah. There was a book written about a cougar. The male cougars, when they're about 3 years old, 2.5 or 3 years old, their mom kicks them out of the house, and they have to go find their own territory and their own place to live and establish their own home. And there was a I read this article in the Washington Post. I'll just read a little bit about briefly. So it starts out. The author writes: many years ago, when I was teaching at an elementary school, a student of mine brought a box full of worms to class. He planned to release them at the end of the day, but he forgot about them. I forgot about them too until I returned to the classroom the following morning. What I saw there has stuck with me for nearly 30 years. Somehow, the lid had come off the box and the worms had escaped. Some of them made it only a few feet across the floor. Others reached the classroom wall. A few aimed for more distant corners, but they were no match for central heating and wall-to-wall carpet. Every one of them was dead. This story reminds me of the heroic tale of mountain lions and their epic migrations from an isolated habitat in the South Dakota's Black Hills. When I read about the story of the mountain lions of the Black Hills, I was reminded of those worms. The Black Hills are a small mountain range on the western edge of the Great Plains that is home to a resurgent but embattled population of mountain lions. In 2009, a young Tom, which is what you call a young male Tom, a young Tom, crowded out by dominant males, launched himself eastward on a meandering journey that took him across the plains and through some of the most densely populated areas in the country on a six-state search for a mate. He became a star in the local media as he wandered from state to state and eventually ended up in Oklahoma. So keep that in mind. And I will launch into the cougar. So, you know, much like the bears, if you were at my bear talk, our perceptions of cougars and large carnivores like bears, cougars, and wolves is, you know, this, like this cover of Outdoor Life magazine, showdown with a killer cougar. It shows the cougar with its teeth barred and it's gonna jump on this hapless cowboy that's reaching for his gun. That's what we see in the media and the movies and on TV, and it's really an unfortunate misperception of cougars. Cougars are very secretive and shy by nature, and I'll talk a little bit about that now. So this is interesting. The cougar ranges from way up here in Canada all the way to the tip of South America, and this is the same species. They have a wide geographic distribution, but because of that, they have a whole series of different names. So we call them cougars up here in Washington. They have other names in different parts of this, even in the United States. Pumas, mountain lions in the Rockies.
The Florida panther.
What's
panther?
Panther, pumas. Yeah, they have all these different names, but. I've got a slide a little bit later on of all the different, some of the different names. But this is one species that ranges all the way up and down here. Now they don't travel this distance, but they are all the same. So here, so the scientific name is Puma con color, which means a cat with color. And then here, you know, here's just some of the different names: mountain lion, puma, catamount, panther, ghost cat, lots of different names. And that's because they're found in all these different areas, different habitats. Okay, so cougar characteristics, physical characteristics. The most striking feature of a cougar is its really long tail. This is the most distinctive body part. It's almost a third of its body length. They have very, very strong muscles up in the forebody. When they're born, this is a young cougar, when they're born with spots, but those spots will disappear as they get older. Because the cougars are cats, they're very secretive, they're shy. If you think of it like your house cat, you know how they hide under the couch, and sometimes you can't even find them in your own house. They'll go sleep, they move around. So the most likely, I guess, chance of us coming across a cougar is going to be from its tracks. And these are your typical cougar tracks. These are their feet. Their front paws are larger than their rear paws, and that's because their front paws are what they use for grabbing prey, and they have bigger claws. The rear paws are for jumping. And Very typical cougar, or this is the typical cat paw. It's bilobed in the front and trilobed in the back of the pad. There's also all the cats in the whole species of cat family, they all have retractable claws. Except for jaguars. Jaguars are the only ones that can't retract their claws. So, when you're playing with your house cat at home, you know, you're scratching their belly. You don't really see their claws, but if you grab their paw and just push down like this, then the claws come out. So retractable claws. Now here's a comparison. These are cats on the right and dogs on the cats on the left, dogs on the right. Because tomorrow I'll be talking about the wolves, and this is your typical canine print. Big difference beside the it's bilobed and trilobed in the back for the cats. If you look in the dogs, it's bilobed in the back and just one lobe up front. Dogs, the canines can't retract their claws, so you'll find if you see a track and it's got these claw marks on it, prints, very likely it's in the canine family and it's not a cougar. The other thing is the shape. In the cat family, the print is about as long as it is wide, so it's circular. And the dog family, what the heck? Yeah, so in the dogs, it's more egg-shaped and oblong. That's just some give you some ideas in case you're out and about and you want to try to distinguish what it is. Here's some, these are all cougar tracks. Here's one in the mud. Notice there's no claw marks. And it's round, very round. All right, so a little bit more about the physical characteristics. Cougars are sexually dimorphic, and all that means is the females are smaller than the males. Typical male, 120 to 200 pounds, and a typical female, 70 to 120 pounds. The gentleman holding that cat is 6'1", 6 feet 1 inches tall. they have no problem swimming, love the water. Okay, so a little bit more about the physical abilities. The cougars are like the super athletes of the natural world. They have a vertical leap of 25 feet.
Wow.
They can do a standing broad jump of 30 to 40 feet. They make their living by not being seen, being secretive. The way they hunt is by being secretive and quiet. Just think of your house cat. My cat, he sleeps all day, and then right after dinner, he stands by the front door. I let him out, and I don't see him until the next morning. He comes back the next morning, and sometimes he has the habit of bringing back things that he catches in the night, and he leaves them on the front door, so I get a good idea of what's living all around the house. I have lizards, snakes, rabbits, quail, rats, and all numerous birds that come back to me. So they're secretive, stealthy hunters, but they're not they're sprinters in that they can sprint a short distance. But unlike the dog family, they're not long-distance runners like wolves. And because they hunt by surprise and pouncing on their prey, they also, unlike a wolf, they also are not selecting the weakest members of, say, the deer herd. Because they'll hide and pounce, they take not only the weak and injured, but the strong. The strong.
So where's the one in the snow then? Or are you going to show us on?
Yeah, so can you see the cougar over here?
Is he up in the tree?
I can't see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They're true.
I think most of the times when you've been out in the woods, and I'm almost certain that there have been a lot more cougars watching me and seeing me than I've ever seen. I'm sure that I've walked, as much time as I've been out in the woods, I'm sure I've walked right by them. Okay, so as I said, they're solitary, secretive hunters. That's how they live. Their method of being out in the natural world is being secretive and quiet, and they're solitary animals. They don't run around in packs like the wolves. Can you see the cougar in here?
No.
So if you were walking out there, you would never notice. And if this was focused a little bit better, you could actually see the head in there. And there's actually you can't even see it here, but there's definitely a face there looking at you. They blend in well. This one's a little bit easier. You can probably spot the cougar in this one. This is a forest up here in the northwest. But just like a cat, they're silent. They're quiet. They operate out all by themselves. You see a cougar here.
Down at 5 o'clock.
You can see the eyes in this. See the one eye there, one eye there. There's its head. Yeah. So, you know, these photos are all taken, 10 yards from the cougar, 7-8 yards. And they will sit there and watch you go by, and you'll never know. There are two cougars in this photo. And you're at a disadvantage because it's not great focus. But here's number one. And there's another one in there. There's the tail and there's the head of the other one. If you see two cougars together, it's likely they're a family pair, like a mother and one of her offspring. They do not travel in groups. And this one's, even if it was in focus, it's impossible. If I look at my screen, I can't tell where it is. But there is a cougar there. And he is in there somewhere. And this is really, I don't know why I put this in, but this is a cougar in an urban area walking in front of somebody's security camera. That's him right there. Okay, so so a little bit about what cougar predation on various animals. So it's a stalking predator, I mentioned that. Deer and elk are its main diet. About 50% of a cougar's diet will be deer and elk or some other ungulate, bighorn sheep. They're opportunistic, highly adaptable hunters. Let me just put these up here quickly. So as far as the predation rate, it varies by sex. If it's a female cougar and they have young, they're gonna hunt and take prey 2-3 times a week. If it's a male is actually less. A male will actually take the equivalent of one deer, say every 10 days or 15 days. The male has no The male does nothing in the rearing of the young. It's all the female cougar that does all of the rearing of the young. This is just your basic pie diagram, and you can see the green is deer, elk, and other ungulates. So. Well over 50% of the cougar's diet is ungulates. And
but beavers, I never would have thought of beavers, but
So the domestic would be dogs or cats?
Sheep, cattle.
Oh, cattle. Okay.
Yeah, you could throw dogs and cats in there. It's more of a domestic would be more a ranch
livestock.
Yeah.
Will they eat smaller animals like squirrels? Or
yes. Things? Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Does anybody know what Aplodontia is?
No.
That's a really unique, strange. To the northwest, have you ever heard of a mountain beaver?
Mm-hmm.
It's like in its own genus. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cross between a ground squirrel and like a mole. They spend their underground. They're about this big.
Oh wow!
Kind of like a muskrat, but it's on land, and they burrow. They spend all their time under the ground and they eat the roots of trees. We call them mountain beavers. So when a cougar gets a kill, it'll oftentimes cache it. It'll drag it to a spot and bury it. And it'll come back. You know, it'll come back and eat that later. And it buries it. It helps preserve it. And kind of keep it cool. So what about the cougar's impact on deer and elk and all the other wild animals? So as I mentioned, they're opportunistic hunters, and because they're stalking hunters, unlike wolves, they'll take young, old. I mean, they'll take anything. Whereas when you hear me talk about the wolves tomorrow, the way that the wolves hunt is they chase down their prey. They're long distant runners, so the wolves will run and run and run, and that means that they'll select for the slow, the weak, and the injured. If you're a wolf, cougar doesn't do any selection; it'll take whatever's there. If it's a localized deer herd and it's small, the cougar can be a major influence on the herd. So small isolated populations of deer and elk can be really impacted by a cougar in their area. But cougars, contrary to what some people will tell you, they don't eat every deer standing, and they don't eat every elk. They don't decimate the population. It's what they live on, and they're not going to eat themselves out of food. They actually, the reality is they help stabilize deer and elk populations. Let's see. Put all these up here. So, as far as cougar impacts on sheep and cattle ranching, they're not a significant predator on livestock. They will take sheep and they will take cattle, just because they're easy prey. Most cougar predation on livestock can be mitigated with good animal husbandry, and they're if you are a livestock owner and you have a cougar preying on your sheep and cow, you are legally you have the right to shoot and kill the cougar that's on your property and hunting your cat.
Yeah. What do you mean by the poor animal husbandry practices?
So, for example, you can put your sheep or cattle out on a range in areas that are good cougar habitat, or you could put them in areas that are away from cover, for example, because the cougar needs cover to hunt. So it needs to be, it likes trees or rocky outcrops. So if you had a choice of where you're going to put your sheep and cattle for the night, you'd want them in an open field with lots of distance between the cover, so that it's not going to, you can see it coming, you know, the cattle will be able to react to it. Other things, for example, a lot of ranchers and farmers will have what's called a boneyard, where if a cow dies, there's an area where they'll put the dead cow and sheep, and it's kind of like a graveyard. Well, that's attractant to bears and cougars and wolves, so you don't want your healthy herd right next to an area where that's going to be an attractant. Okay, so a little bit about their home range. So cougars are territorial, particularly the males. In this slide, the light green is a male, and then the yellow, the red, and the light blue are females. Hmm. So this is your typical cougar territory. The male will defend that because he wants to breed with the females. The females will get along, like you can see right here in the middle. The females will occasionally get together and say hello to each other, but they're not, I mean, you can see the majority of each female's range is outside of this little center circle. The males will fight each other for those territories, and it often results in death of one of the males. They are so aggressive and territorial. And this is just an idea of the male has a 505 square kilometer range, and the female's quite a bit less. So in this case, if this female has young, after they reach about 2.5 to 3 years old, those young they have to leave that territory. And so if you're a male, you're going to be kicked out and maybe move over here and try to establish your own territory. But the chances are that this is another male's territory. Occasionally, a female offspring will be allowed to overlap and share a territory with the mother, occasionally, but never in the case of the males. That's why the males will travel far, long distances to establish a new home. Okay, so I mentioned the males are territorial. Females, they tolerate each other. And because the males are territorial, and the females, they develop their own territory, this limits, they're self-limiting. So you'll never have two or three males in the same area. They limit the numbers of cougars. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, there's too many cougars around here, or
or the cougars are taking over, you know. It's just not, it won't happen. They don't, they're solitary animals and they don't live in groups.
Gus, what's the life expectancy of the male and female cougar?
Yeah, I'll get to that. There, if I remember correctly, 12 to 15 years is life expectancy. So really what's common is a low density of cougar residents. There's just not, there never is these high explosions or overly dense areas with cougars. They won't allow it. So typical density is 1 to 3 cougars for every 100 square kilometers. The cougars communicate with each other with scrapes. They'll deposit urine there. They'll rub up against stumps, and this is how they mark their territories. And from their scent and from their urine, they can tell reproductive status, sex. It's like, you know, signing in a book. You know, I'm Gus, I'm male, I'm 45, I'm looking for a mate. I mean, they can tell all that from their scent.
The males and the females both mark.
Yes. Okay. Talk a little bit about their population dynamics. Because they're so secretive and solitary, it's hard for biologists to really estimate that accurately in the number of cougars in an area. You can't compare one population to the next area. It'll vary. They have high immigration and emigration rates. The males are looking for territories. When they get kicked out, the only time you'll see cougars together is right before the mother kicks them out. And because a male young can be bigger than its mom, sometimes when you spot a family group, people think it's a lot of cougars, but it's a family group, and they're about to disperse. They have a relatively high reproductive rate. They can breed any time of the year round, although females usually will skip a year, so it's every other year the females will breed. In Washington State, for example, the estimate is that we have about 2,000 to 2,500 cougars in Washington State. The population's always changing.
And population estimates are mostly on collared, because of collared cats.
Yeah, so I have a slide there. They have collared cats in different parts of Washington, and they track the home rent range, and that gives them an estimate of population. Yeah. But it's really hard. They're not easy to count. They're making a guess. Some of the things that cougar mortality, about 20% is due to hunting. Depredation, 25%, that's poaching, trapping. 5% is cougars, males attacking other males and killing them. And then this is feline leukemia. Disease that will take a fair number of cougars. All right, so your typical cougar, 10 to 13 years, is an average age. Again, the other, mortality factors, sport hunting, predator control, other cougars, diseases, accidents. Up until, in Washington State, up until 1967, cougars had a bounty on them in Washington State, and they weren't considered game species. So if you shot a cougar, you could get money for it. Mm-hmm. Right around 1970, in Washington State, they declared it a game species, and there was a season. And you were allowed to hunt cougars with dogs for up until about 10 years ago. And the reason you use dogs is because the cougars are sprinters, and they can only run so far before they tire out. And so the dogs are long-distance runners, and they will chase a cougar and force it up a tree. A cougar will instinctively go up a tree because it can't run a long distance. And so cougar hunters always use dogs for their, it was easy. Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit about hunting, how to hunt.
Now, last night you mentioned, you know, the bears will protect their cubs. Now, I noticed, I would assume the mother was in the area when these cubs were, you know, being handled, like in the last picture. But she kind of gives you guys space. She doesn't necessarily attack because, you know, you're out there.
So those pictures, that mother was either gone hunting when those pictures were taken of the cubs, or she was sedated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would not have let anyone get near her cubs. So the picture like these, either the mother's gone from the den or she's sedated. They tranquilized her. So the female woman will reach breeding age in 2.5 to 3.5 years. Actually, I'll just put all these out here. They can breed year-round, although typical breeding cycle is once every other year. Generally, June and August is when the younger are born. And they can have up to 6 kittens, but an average cougar in the wild will have 2 or 3 kittens. And the male has no... the male's no help in parental care. He just breeds and then goes about his happy-go-lucky life, while the mom has to do all the work. And then somewhere between 8 months and 24 months, both the female and the male of the offspring disperse. They have to go find their own territory and their own mates. And that's a dangerous time for the males. So a young 2-year-old male dispersing from his mother's home range is likely to travel into the range of a male adult. And that male adult will kill him if they go head to head. So it's a very dangerous time for the male tom to go out to look for his home range. And here's a good example. So this is Washington State. This is, if you know, Washington I-90. Snoqualmie Pass is right here. This is Clee Ellum. Ellensburg would be over here somewhere. But this is a study area, and these are male toms that disperse from their home range in Columbia and went all the way to the Columbia River. Uh-huh. And then this guy went to the Columbia River, decided, I'm not going to swim across the river, although they can. And he moved over here and he set up, he found his home range down here. This guy went all the way down to the Columbia River, decided, I'm not going to swim there, turned around, came back and ended up here. That's a considerable distance, Clee Ellum to the Columbia River and back. And all along here, they're traveling through another male's territory. So some characteristics of the habitat cougars love, they love cover. So all along Lake Chelan, when you're coming up on the boat, all those rocky cliffs and crags and those narrow canyons, perfect cougar country. Because it's easy to hunt where you can hide all the time. They like edges, and edges are like where two different habitats meet. In this case, like in this photo, would be a clear cut versus a forested area. They can hide in the forest and jump out into the clear cut. And then, you know, they travel on ridges, roads, and creeks. Anything where they can hide. There is a cougar in here. Yeah. And he's got a radio collar on. That's why we can get a picture of him. I don't know if you can see the collar right there. It's like a big block box. This is your typical cougar prey, the elk on the left and the deer on the right. Cougars are your top tier carnivores. They help maintain the biodiversity. If you lose your cougars, it changes the whole dynamic of the natural ecosystem. A simplified example of that is deer and elk. If there's no prey, if there's no cougars or wolves that prey on the deer and elk population expands. They overbrowse near the creeks. The willows get chewed down to about this top high, and the willow is where the songbirds, the frogs, and the lizards hide, and it's all connected. There's a because of this connection, cougars are called keystone species, they're just a major factor that influences the ecosystem. The biggest effect on cougar populations, of course, is human effect. We keep building roads and we build houses where the cougars live, and we slowly encroach on the cougar or on their habitat. Washington State's a great example. So in Washington State, we keep growing. Population keeps growing. The local fishing game estimates that about 27 square kilometers of cougar habitat is lost every year. And the unfortunate part is then that leads to more cougar-human interactions. And this is all happening in urban areas. And these pictures are out just outside of Seattle, where this is what we call the wildland-urban interface. On the right of the is where the mountains come down. On the left is the growing population of Puget Sound. And there are cougars that live here. And as we move in, the cougars... they have to find places to live. I'll go into a little bit. Sorry, this is a little bit of a repeat of what I was telling you about the cougar population. These numbers are all the different cougar game management areas. This is the different hunting zones in Washington State. this is the desert part of Washington where it's flat and there's no cover, so there's not really a whole, there's really not a good cougar population there. Fortunately, people, you know, people love cougars. 92% of people in Washington State, they like to see cougars. They want them in there, and they want them to survive. And they're concerned about, you know, their habitat loss. This is an old photo. There's the hounds that hunters used to, it's no longer legal, by the way, in Washington to use hounds. About 5 to 8 years ago, they outlawed the use of dogs for hunting cougars.
How about Idaho? Can you still use hounds in Idaho?
I think you can in Idaho. Idaho...
pretty backwards.
Idaho's crazy backwards. I was alarmed in Idaho because, you know, I went up to Coeur d'Alene to go camping around Coeur d'Alene in northern Idaho, and I had my dog with me. And I love to hike with my dog. I found out that in Idaho, if you're a wolf trapper, there is no law that says that prevents you from setting your wolf trap 5 feet off of a hiking trail. So I was hiking with my dog in the woods, and I found out that there could be a wolf leg hold trap just 5 feet off the trail. There's no law that says that limits where you can set your traps.
So how do they hunt cougars legally in this state?
In this state?
Yeah.
Well, there's a season. I'll talk about that.
Yeah, because you can't track them.
Well, you can track them, but it's harder.
Okay.
So this is what I was telling you. Prior to 1970, cougar was a bounty species. Which really led to all kinds of problems because every cougar that was running around was shot. It became a game species in 1970. And then in Washington State, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, they actually have these 5 goals for cougars. They're required to maintain stable populations. They need to keep the numbers up so that there's some for hunting, ensure public safety, keep enough cougars around that people can actually go out, maybe get lucky enough to see one, and then control and maintain the predator-prey dynamic, cougars and livestock. Washington State, we've had many, many cougar studies. Those are just some of them. This is a look at a couple of different areas where there's been recent cougar studies. Okay. So how do you catch a cougar, or how do the biologists catch a cougar, or how do you hunt a cougar? Well, what first thing you do is go out and hopefully there's some snow on the ground, and you get in your truck and you drive the road looking for tracks. If you were a hunter, as soon as you found a track, you would release your dogs, and the dogs would pick up on the scent. And as I mentioned before, the dogs are marathon runners and the cats are sprinters, so it won't be very long. It won't be very long before those dogs tree the cougar. And the cougar will go to the nearest tree. When you were a hunter previously, your dogs would tree the cougar, and you go to the tree, look up, and shoot it. And that was your cougar hunt. So you didn't really do much work. Your dogs did all the work. As a biologist... we do the same thing, except we tranquilize them. They go up in the tree, we tranquilize them, and then we catch them when they drop down, and then we radio collar them.
As far as estimating populations, we can use hair snares, go out and survey scat, and set up cameras are another way to count the cougar population. These yellow dots are all sorts of, these are radio-collared cougars, and every dot represents a location where the cougar was. And this is all in the Seattle area. Seattle, Renton, Auburn. So what was interesting is that even in these urban, suburban areas, the cougars just went about their normal behavior. They kept hunting, they kept marking their territory, and they would raise young They still go about their normal activities. So more and more, if you live close to the forest, you're gonna see this, a cougar coming up on your porch. Again, this is more. You can see. I believe this is I-90, Interstate 90, and this is. Probably around Snoqualmie. No.
It's like Issaquah.
Issaquah, yeah. This is a good one. You can obviously tell the cougar. Look, I mean, this is really dense. But over here, you know, you've got the cover and the river. So, when you go out. and you go out and you walk your dog. The cougar is not going. Is not interested in you and your dog. This is not something that you really need to worry about. Okay. So, what are your chances? I always have to address this. What are the chances that you're going to be attacked by a cougar? I talked about this about bears. If you were at my bear lecture. So, all right. Your chances of dying from a bee sting in Washington, deaths per year, maybe one and a half, and 48 in the United States. What are your chances dying from a dog bite or a dog attack? About 20 occur in the U.S. per year. Yes. Chances of getting hit by lightning, you know, about 82 deaths in the United States getting hit by lightning. And what are your chances of getting killed or attacked by a cougar or bear? I show this because I want people to understand that the cougars are not going to carry off your firstborn, and you know the bears aren't out; they're not out to get you. They avoid humans. Here's a good example. In the Seattle area, they had some radio-collared cougars, and in a two-year period in this community, let's say Issaquah, there were 70 reports of probable cougar-human interaction. Of those 73, only 29% actually turned out to be a real cougar. So the other 70%. Was a dog or something. It wasn't a cougar. And then they had actual cougars. I think there were 32 cougars over that two-year period that had radio collared on them. And they tracked the cougars over 2 years, and they figured out that there were 2,300 chances of someone seeing the cougar because they had the location by the radio caller. So there were 2,300 chances that they were within 500 meters of an area where they could have had human interaction. And of those 2,300 chances, an actual interaction with a human came out to 0.0073%. Essentially, the bottom line is the chances of having a cougar interaction are almost zero. Okay.
Now, we did have a cougar sighting here. I'm not sure if it was an actual sighting or if it was an actual, if there were just prints or something.
Yeah, oh no, you're sure. Well, you always have a chance. I mean, there's always a chance you'll see it. I mean, they're out there, and I know lots of people that have seen them. So that's actually why I'm going to talk about this, what happens if you... This is what you need to look out and or need to know about if you come across a cougar. So how to understand a cougar's intentions. And if you're a house cat owner, this will all make sense. So these are... relaxed cougars. Pay attention to the ears. This cougar is totally indifferent. He's checking you out. He's like kind of bored. He's like, oh, there's a human. Doesn't really matter. I don't care. Then these cougars are a little more alert. This guy's mouth is open. Their ears are straight up and down, and they're kind of noticing you. Now, look at the ears. The ears went down. They're down. This is a little bit agitated. They give you that stare, and this cougar is kind of crouched down. He's got a little bit of weight on those front paws, and just like your house cat, he's kind of scooting his back paws, and he's getting ready to. He's getting ready to pounce, and then this cougar, you know, he's in a cage, but his ears are all the way back, If you see this in an encounter with a cougar out, then you know he's ready to pounce. And so if you come across a cougar, you want to look him in the eye. And why do you do that? Because they like to hunt or attack by surprising you. So if you're looking him in the eye, he knows that you see him. So the idea of surprising you as prey is gone. So look the cougar in the eye. Obviously, don't run, and don't ever corner the cougar. These two cougars, this guy, when they're backed into a corner, they have two choices. It's flight or fight. So in this case, cougar's backed into a corner, and he's either going to attack you or run. And same with this guy. I have never, ever had anyone ever deliberately or even unintentionally back a cougar into a corner. I imagine if you're a hunter, a cougar hunter, at some point, if you were hunting cougars, that would happen. But for your average hiker out and about... I've never heard of anyone ever backing a cougar into. Okay, so here's what you do if you have a cougar encounter and you want to get out of it alive. Don't run. Don't break eye contact. Make yourself big, and slowly back away and get out of there. If you are attacked, you want to fight back with a cougar. Fight back aggressively. It'll at some point it's going to determine that you're not a deer or an elk, and hopefully leave you alone. This is just some suggestions. Just common sense stuff. So to summarize, you know, cougars are very adaptive, top-tier carnivore. Like all the animals, all the large carnivores, they're important to the ecosystem. You take the cougars out of the ecosystem, you take the bears out, and you cause all kinds of you break up that web of circle of life that I believe we still don't quite totally understand. And that cougar, and then see that one? Right?
Go away. There he is.
Right there. See its head? Two eyes. And I just know that lots of times I've gone out in the woods and walked right by a cougar like that, staring at me. And that's it. So if you have any questions.
Can you talk about the bear's sense of smell?
Yeah.
Are cougars similar?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so. No. I've never heard or read any information on their sense of smell. My guess is that it's not that of a like a bear. Mm-hmm. I would have read or heard something about it by now.
Is their main sense their eyesight?
They actually have. I've read that they have something in their tongue that helps them sense smells.
That's why oftentimes you see a cat, or in one of the pictures you saw, a cat with its mouth open, not in an aggressive stance.
Yes.
You know, smelling.
Right. Yeah. They have some kind of a smell gland in their mouth too. But long distance smelling, it's not like that of a bear. I've heard stories of bears smelling apples on people's decks, like a basket of apples from a mile away. They have a great sense of smell.
What happened to the cougar from the Black Hills that was spotted in Oklahoma?
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's a whole book on it. Someone wrote a book about it. Tomorrow I'll talk about a wolf that did the same thing. Went from Idaho all the way to California. And actually found a mate, which was amazing. Yeah.
Are cougars found only on the West Coast?
Well, they used to be on the East Coast. But no longer. They no longer exist kind of roughly just straight down the middle of the United States east. They don't exist anymore. They used to be there.
What are bobcats?
Bobcats are cat in the cat family, and they're kind of a subspecies of lynx. But bobcats and lynx are cat. They're cats, so a lot of many of the same characteristics of cougars.
They're more nocturnal, is that right? I mean,
yes, cougars are much more active at night. They're solitary and quiet, but during breeding season, the females will let out. It's called a. What was it? I heard it described as a catter call. The females, when they're breeding or they're in heat, they let out a sound in the middle of the night which scares the living daylights out of you. It sounds like a woman crying or a woman getting, in distress. I've heard at night, I've heard this scream like it sounds like a woman screaming in the woods. And those are female cougars that are in heat. Caterwaul, that's the name for it. A caterwaul is that scream that they give out. And it's eerie and creepy, and it'll make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up if you ever hear it at night.
Okay.
I'm still stuck on the hunting. You don't eat cougars. They're just strictly for sport? And they limit how many licenses?
Yeah. So, you're limited on what and how many you can kill. But, yeah, it's just for sport, for the pelt. You know, the cougar pelt. I'm really happy that they at least eliminated the dogs in Washington. Yeah. Because it seemed like that's now it's the chances of a human chasing down a cougar to a tree. That's tough. That's a real hunt. Yeah. But doing it with dogs out, I thought that was kind of cheating. But we can go to Idaho and do it. I think you can still use dogs in Idaho. All right. Well, thank you.